been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.
Welcome to the Shrimp Tank Podcast, broadcasting to you live today from the Woodlands Area Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, Daniel Goodwin. Joining me in the studio today, my esteemed colleague, Mr. J.J. Holly. What's up, J.J.?
Esteemed. I like you.
How about that?
That term liberally.
It's a new year. I didn't call you that last year.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Graduating.
He's moved up. And also, we have Todd Bradbury in the studio today. And Todd Bradbury and his family have a family-owned business, Bradbury Brothers Heating and Air Conditioning. They have other companies. They have an exciting family business story that we're going to do a deep dive into today. So Todd, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So Todd came in, we got warmed up, gave him a little idea of what we're going to talk about today. But the Shrimp Tank Podcast is the internet radio show for entrepreneurs. And we are leveraging here some of the brain trust of some of the best and brightest entrepreneurs in the Woodlands area. And of course, JJ, you rub elbows with these business owners on a day in and day out basis. Fair to say?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And we're blessed. We have a rich population to choose from for this show because business is such a vital, important part of the Woodlands community.
It sure is. And I'd like to give a shout out to Dr. John Newbold of the Sam Houston State University, the College of Business there, and also Chip Matthews and Dr. Jamie Collins, who's the Director of Entrepreneurship at Sam Houston State University. They are frequent guests on our shows, and Catherine, our executive producer, we're having conversations with the university about some students actually coming on and participating. We have been requested from the university that it's a great opportunity to have students come on and actually listen, be part of the show, and so we're excited about that. So, JJ, before we jump into Todd's story, I know that you guys have done some outlooks for the year, strategic planning. Kind of, we're at the beginning of an exciting new year. We have a new president that's very pro business. Tell us kind of what you guys got going on for here at the chamber for 17.
Well, you know, one thing we like the pro business stance of government. We like when things are changing, but in a predictable way that that businesses can anticipate. And in keeping with that, every year we do an economic outlook conference that is going to be on January 27th at the Marriott from 8 a.m. till 2 p.m. We have Heidi Cruz there, and we have the Texas Secretary of State, Glenn Hagar. Mm. We have Gil Staley, who is the president and CEO of the Economic Development Partnership in the Woodlands, that Gil's role is really to try to attract those large headquarter type companies here.
So how long if he's been doing that for a while? I got to say the guy's been doing a fabulous job because attract businesses to the Woodlands.
That's right.
Yeah,
those things don't happen by accident.
No,
and Gil is very deliberate and focused. He's taken trips to China, Europe, meets with consular offices all the time to
shout make sure out that, to Gil Staley.
Then. Yeah, absolutely. It's crazy. We've got Congressman Brady, our current House of Weans, Ways and Means Committee chair, that'll be there. And the Woodlands Development Company is going to talk. And Gordy Bunch is our new chairman of the Woodlands Township.
Sure, sure.
He's going to talk. So we've got a lot of good speakers lined up. On the 27th.
Any tickets left?
There are plenty of tickets left, but they're going fast. They always, everybody kind of takes a break during the holidays, and then come January, they get in and they start going. So we'll have 800 people there by the time we're all said and done.
I'm just wondering if our Shrimp Tank Podcast producer, executive producer now this year, Miss Catherine Bates, if she's lined us up tickets to go, maybe, you know, maybe we'll get to go to that. So, Todd, your family business, Bradbury Brothers Heating and Air Conditioning. It'd be okay if we kind of jump in a little bit and talk a little bit about your story now and get in, learn a little bit about, because it's not just the heating and air conditioning. You guys also have a plumbing and a painting company.
That is correct. Yeah, let's jump right into it.
Yeah, and one of the things that made me excited about this interview is just the idea of a family legacy business. You know, most businesses don't make it to another generation. And I know for your mom, Jackie, it must be a real dream come true to be working alongside her sons.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a it's been instilled in us from the time we were very young, growing up in the heating and air conditioning business. And to this day, we're literally in each other's office on a daily basis.
So in the family business, we have Jackie, and then we also have your brother, Michael, your brother, Jason. And what's it like? What are family dynamics like? When all of a sudden your brothers and then your business partners too. What challenges are come with that? And how's that working out for you guys?
Well, there's definitely a lot of challenges. The challenges are far outweighed by all the benefits. The challenges are we have four very A-type personality entrepreneurs in the family. And all of us believe that the direction that we want to follow is probably the best one to follow. But with that said, we also understand that all of us have very particular strengths and skills, and all of them happen to overlap very well, which has allowed us to grow tremendously since we started the business.
Do y'all ever find yourself saying, I'm going to tell mom?
Yes. Daily.
Yeah.
Mom's pulling the strings then. She's the one.
Well, I don't know around y'all's place, but my house, she can tend to be the boss on some things. But I got to talk to your mom, Jackie, a little bit yesterday. She was a delightful person to talk to. And
Todd, here's where you get nervous. He doesn't, we don't know what she said about you.
Yep. So this family business has spanned for 30 years now, and you're in the Woodlands. You're certainly what I would call, you're far past a startup. You guys definitely have traction. You have about 50 employees, the way I understand it. You have an investment and holding company. You have different businesses. You've got the plumbing, you've got the painting, and you've got the heating and air conditioning. So how do you kind of, manage, running all those different operations and how do you hold all that together?
Well, it's definitely a constantly learning environment. Luckily, as I mentioned, all of us have particular skills and strengths. My brother Michael, he came from the investment banking industry, and so he came in and he's very much the big picture visionary, the planning, where we're at now. Yes, we made it out of the beginning early phases when most people are concerned, but we haven't even touched what we expect to get to. I come from the operations side. My mother comes from the marketing and administration side. And then my other brother, Jason, again, from the administration side as well. So it all overlaps well, ties in all the different businesses together. And then the biggest key to our growth especially over the last 2 years, is either bringing in or promoting from within talented individuals that have allowed us to grow in leadership positions.
Okay, so and as you come into the new year, have you guys done strategic planning for 17? What's that like for your companies?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very lengthy process. We start on the ownership leadership side. We start our 2017 planning. We started it back in September and October of 2016. With that said, we hold a yearly event. Make it a little mix of fun and obviously business planning, as we actually get our entire company, actually all of the companies together, and have an all-day retreat to where we go through everything from personnel to goals to incentives, what's going to take us to the next step, and we do that on a yearly basis.
And do you communicate the vision of the company to the employees?
Absolutely. Our mission and vision statements are covered on a weekly basis, as well as the main topic of our planning retreat for this year was actually our vision statement. So it's very much a part of our everyday operation.
And JJ, go ahead.
Yeah. So what kind of strategies do you develop and then look at implementing in 2017 to help you reach that vision and fulfill that mission?
Well, it definitely starts from the leadership and ownership. When we start doing our planning for the next year is we take a look at our internal strengths and weaknesses, and then our vision of where we want to go, whether it be revenue goals, efficiency margins. And then at that point, we come up with the loose format of what we want to cover. And then that's when we start to bring in the rest of our leadership team, to where we kind of decide what we can and can't accomplish. And then we take it to the entire company to get everyone's buy-in.
Just in case you tuned in, you're listening to the Shrimp Tank Podcast, where we interview Houston's best and brightest business owners and entrepreneurs all across the state of Texas. We're in the studio today with Todd Bradbury and JJ Hawley of the Woodlands Area Chamber of Commerce. Don't forget, you can download a complete replay of our show at houston.shrimptank.com podcast.com. And don't forget that all of our shows are available now on iTunes. So, Todd, lining up the year with the strategic planning when you have a company that is, 50 employees, you're moving into that middle-sized company, what are some of the obstacles or some of the headwinds that you see that your business is facing?
This year was definitely a new one for us. We acquired a plumbing company in 2016, and with the size that we've gotten to with the number of employees, this was the first year to where we actually brought in that middle management layer. And that's something very new to us. Being a family-run, family-operated company, we were constantly the ones that made all the decisions. And now we got to the point to where we realized we can't manage every single bit of the operation. So we've had to bring in, whether it be promoting from inside or hiring talent from outside, to come in to actually run a lot of the day-to-day operations in that middle management level.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that all of your brothers and your mom, you just have this entrepreneurial gene that, you look at all your different options and you said, hey, there's no other way for me but to, run and own and operate my own business. You think that's just, something your family instilled in?
It's got to be genetic. for some reason, for all of us to have it, I can't come up with anything other than genetics.
Yep. So tell us a little bit about work ethic and the viewpoint of that in your family business.
Yeah, work ethic is a big one for us. And we've had this discussion before with employees is I can never expect anyone to not have the same work ethic as me. And that goes good or bad. So my work ethic is what I expect to see out of my employees as well.
Mm-hmm. How about any essential qualities that you think an entrepreneur should have?
Well, you got to be persistent, and you definitely have to believe in what it is that you do. And that goes for when things are going well and then also when things are not going well.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, I wanted to mention Karina Bradbury is listening as well. Who is Karina? And you might want to give a shout out.
Well, Karina is my lovely wife.
Hey, Karina.
Well played.
Yeah. All right. So Karina tuned in. And listen, the producer's telling me that we are going to run to a quick commercial break. We're going to be right back. You're listening to the Shrimp Tank Podcast with Todd Bradbury, JJ Holly, and your host, Daniel Goodwin. We'll be right back. Bradbury Brothers Heating and Air Conditioning is a family-owned and operated business right here in the Woodlands, and is also a big part of our community. We give you our personal promise that we won't be happy until you're 100% satisfied. Our reputation is based on your satisfaction, and we take that promise seriously. Visit our website at bradburybrothers.com or call us at 281-651-5484. And we are back live in studio today at the Woodlands Area Chamber of Commerce. Looking out, it's January. It's like 78 degrees.
Yeah, it does not feel like January.
It's sunny. We're looking out on the lake right here. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. So, my sister up in Michigan that's, snowed in right now, and just say, hey, we're having Mexican food after this too, right?
Rubbing it in.
I gotta rub it in. We got warm, sunny weather. We have Mexican food. We got it all right here. So we're listening to Todd Bradbury's family business story. And I know JJ, you got some additional questions that you want to ask him, but go ahead.
One thing I was going to say, my first exposure to the Bradbury clan was at the Special Olympics that's hosted by the Kiwanis every year, and that's how I got to meet your family, and was very impressed that they supported charitable causes. We always also appreciate your membership and your support of the chamber. I always tell people we can't turn the lights on without people paying their memberships. How important is that? How does that fit into your strategy and your business, the charitable philanthropic side of giving back to the community?
That ties directly into our vision statement. Again, everybody in our company knows and lives by it. Our vision statement is pretty simple. The first one is to take care of our customers. They're first and foremost. Secondly is going to be to take care of our employees. And then the last part of that is to take care of our community. And so our community presence is a very important thing to us, regardless if there was the business, we'd be involved in most of these anyways. But yes, the Special Olympics through Kiwanis is very near and dear to our family, specifically my mother, who's in the Kiwanis. So yeah, that's one of the many events that we're involved in.
That's awesome. So Todd, I want to ask you this. You know, we got a new sheriff in town, you know, specifically, you know, Mr. Trump in Washington, D.C.
Talk about literally, too.
Yeah, so let's say tomorrow Donald Trump calls you and says, Todd, it's the Donald from Washington, D.C. now. And tell me, Todd, what can the federal government do to help the small business owner? What would you tell him?
Well, I think everyone would be on the same page as far as reduce taxes, make it a lot easier for business to operate on a daily basis, and make it easy for the employees to make the most of their income as well, which obviously has that trickle down effect to the businesses as well.
Okay, so to some extent, get out of the way, and you know, lower our taxes, let us run and operate. And those are some of the campaign promises that he's run on.
Yeah.
How about you, JJ? Anything to add to that?
I think everyone wants the same thing. They want a very simple approach to being able to do business. Get the government out of the way. Let us do our jobs. We had an issue with the Department of Labor and the overtime rules that completely changed the way we staff and the way we pay our employees, and it was intrusive. And then to plan on that, because we do our budgeting in June or July for a fiscal year that starts in September 1, for an event that was supposed to happen December 1st, to plan, budget for it, change all that, and then December 1st have it not happen. That's a perfect example of how we need predictability.
Yeah. And so reduce regulation, you know, get rid mm-hmm. of, you know, and I think he's been overt that he intends to mm-hmm. repeal and replace Obamacare, mm-hmm. get rid of Dodd-Frank, get the Department of Labor out of all of these different sort of business practices, and long and short, just get out of the way and let the economic engine unleash, and I think it will be Katie bar the door here in our community anyway. So,
well, it's encouraging when you look at companies that are already looking at bringing or keeping jobs in the U.S. You know, I'm sure you deal with manufacturing plants with the pieces and parts you have in your business. Are you seeing any movement like that to kind of keep, you know, bolster the U.S. economy by keeping those plants here or moving them back?
That was one of the first big ones that everyone saw televised was Carrier, which is obviously very big in the heating and air conditioning industry. And they were set to move all of their operations outside of the United States. And that was one of his first big moves, is to keep them in the United States. Mm.
So, Todd, some of our listeners are seasoned entrepreneurs that are established, that have found traction in their business. And some are students, some are aspiring, you know, they want to own a business one day. What advice would you give a young aspiring entrepreneur who's not yet found the confidence or validation to launch their product or service?
I'd probably say that the first thing is you have to find something that you love. With that comes the passion, and with the passion comes that ambition to truly plan. No matter how much you plan, and I can speak firsthand on this one, no matter how much you plan, you've never planned enough. But with that said, is come up with a good game plan and implement it. And implement it with passion.
And you mentioned game plan, and that brings me to a business plan. Do you guys run, you know, we talked about strategic planning, but do you run your business from a business plan?
Absolutely. That was how we were founded. We started our business plan, myself and my brother Michael. I was living in California, he was living in Texas, and we actually designed a business plan together before we implemented it and showed it to the rest of the family.
So the plan was not just wing it.
There was no winging involved.
Yeah, good. JJ, you actually have some resources and at the chamber here and can provide some assistance for an entrepreneur, right? Right. Some equipping or mentor, you know, about building a business plan.
Exactly. We partner with other organizations. The first one that comes to my mind is the Small Business Development Center. Steve Hamilton at Lone Star College. We have a SCORE here that is one of our tenants, and there's a wealth that you can call us. We can get anybody in touch with these groups. That there's a wealth of information out there that is either free are low cost. We've even taken advantage of it ourselves. They've looked at our financials and how we compare in the industry and given us some business planning and some strategic direction help. No matter how much you think you know, you never can figure that, assume that you know everything. You always got to talk to other people and get advice.
Yeah, and it's not to say that in business it's not fluid and that you have to make adjustments, but you know, I guarantee you when a plane takes off, there's a flight plan. You know, it's leaving mm-hmm. a certain place, it's got a destination, and there's a plan involved in that. And of mm-hmm. course, there's adjustments that have to be made along the way. You know, we have things that happen in business, right? We have legislative changes, mm-hmm. we have changes in taxes, we have employees coming, you know, that come in and we have to provide support for. So,
well, I was glad to hear that you're doing that mission vision planning. One thing I feel like my role in is at the chambers to make sure our team knows where we're going and what we're doing and how we're adding value, because that's what helps you get up and go to work every day. And then develop goals for each individual so they know what they're going to be measured against, and that's your plan. And then if something happens, then you can at least you've got a plan you can adjust from.
Absolutely, any good plan also is going to have a contingency plan to go along mm-hmm. with it.
So, Todd, you mentioned passion, and I want to talk about the dark side of passion. Okay, because you can have a business.
Karina's listening. We got to be careful.
Yeah, especially since your wife's listening. But the dark side of passion is you can have a business and you can be so passionate about it. And I know for me personally, I've struggled with my passion and finding work-life balance. You know, I'm passionate about my business. I'm passionate about all the initiatives and things that we're doing. You know, but at the end of the day, I've got a family and a wife, and I've got, you know, I've got responsibilities that, you know, I need to get myself in the gym and all of that. That's the dark side of passion. And it, as that relates to work-life balance, how have you managed that?
Ironically enough, that was a conversation that Karina, myself, and my mother were having just prior to coming over here today.
Oh, my gosh.
How timely.
Nobody called me about that.
it is definitely a challenge. I am far from perfect. With that said, the key is to attempt to balance it as much as possible. When I'm home, I concentrate on home. Exercise is a big deal, so we're working out. We try to actually work out together to accomplish both being to get together as a family as well as the physical exercise. But with that said, my career is very important to myself and the family, and I'm blessed enough to have a wife that is understanding of that most of the time, and she assists in that as she is part of the business as well.
It's a challenge. How about you, JJ? I know that, you know, it's easy for you to, you know, be going to functions three nights, four nights a week with everything the chamber's got going on.
Yeah, I've been in this position for almost a year and a half, and about 3 or 4 months into it, we realize that as a family, we have to sit down and sync schedules. We've got a junior in high school. My wife works. She's a counselor at the high school. And if we didn't sit down on a Saturday or Sunday and look at our plan for the week, we would
chaos. Go
through midweek, it would be chaos. Well, I didn't know you were doing that. So, and then it kind of came to a head one time where I was going through my weekly schedule and my wife looked at me and said, "So we're not going to see you at all this week." And I thought, uh-oh. And then light bulb went off. I need to limit and pick and choose and not every single night, maybe two, maybe three nights a week. But yeah, you've got to balance that.
Coordinate schedules, communicate, pick and choose. Those are all, yeah, those are things I need a little brushing up in. You know, I text my wife today. I said, I'm just reminding you, I got to be in Dallas on the 16th and 17th. She said, I haven't heard of that before. What the heck?
We have different balls or galas that we'll end up attending, and we'll have one like Saturday night, and I'll tell Amy on Wednesday, "Oh, we have this gala," and she's like, "You realize it takes me more than a few days? I've got to get a dress, I've got to get my hair," and I'm like, "I'm just putting on a suit." But
okay, executive producer's telling me we need to go to our second commercial break. You're listening to the Shrimp Tank Podcast, where we interview Houston's best and brightest business owners. We're in the studio today with Todd Bradbury of Bradbury Brothers Heating and Air Conditioning. Don't go away. We'll be right back. A recent Forbes study concluded that 4 out of 5 business owners are overpaying their taxes. Out! Don't let that be you. Contact Provident at 281-466-4843, and we'll use our exclusive tax blueprint to find out how you can pay only what you're required to pay and reduce your taxes. That's 281-466-4843. And we're back at the Shrimp Tank Podcast, broadcasting live at the Chamber of Commerce here in the lovely Woodlands, Texas, 78 degrees and sunny. I'm your host, Daniel Goodwin. Joining me in the studio today is J.J. Holly and our special guest, Todd Bradbury of Bradbury Brothers Heating and Air Conditioning. And a special shout out again to your partners, Jackie, Michael, and Jason. And, you know, hey, now that you're famous and, you know, live on air, maybe we'll get them to, you know, come to your next interview, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'd like to meet them too. So we're doing a deep dive on your family business story. I know JJ and I have a few more questions for you, but I wanted to ask you, how do you stay motivated? How, you know, where do you get your news? Kind of, how do you, I know it's easy to get in the business and just be swamped the whole day with business things. You know, I mean, what are a couple of your favorite books and things that have influenced you?
I'm a big fan of balance. I've spent certain periods of my life to where I get too focused on work and business, and other parts of my life tend to suffer from it. So I'm a big fan of balance. So let's see. Currently reading, this last year we started working a lot with some of our employees on things, books such as From Good to Great. With that said, I'm also, being from the military, I read a lot of military history books, biographies, and then I got to keep it light, and my wife and I are big Game of Thrones fans, and so that's the current book that's sitting on the nightstand as we speak.
Okay, fabulous. So,
I was disappointed they moved the Game of Thrones premiere back so they can make it bigger, but I'm still, seems to come and go too quickly. That's my one appointment TV thing.
Yep.
So, you know, you mentioned Good to Great. That came up in another interview that we had here, I want to say with Leslie Farnsworth that owns the marketing company. And somebody commented that, hey, that's kind of an old book. But I would say, hey, there are a few, you know, Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of, you know, Highly Successful Business. Is that ever going to get old? I don't think so. You know,
it never goes out of style.
Never.
And that book about, you know, there is a syndrome where business books can roll off the assembly line like cheeseburgers, you know, but let me tell you, that Good to Great by Jim Collins, I put that right up there as one of the all-time classics. And I would say any of us would be well-advised to, you know, if you read it 5 years ago, read it again. I mean, it is an extended meditation. So,
you know, I had a mentor early on in my career that said, leaders must be readers. And I have to admit, I failed at that a lot. I have to force myself to do it. But I have good friends and good mentors that'll give me books on occasion. You know, Dave Ramsey, I just got a book called Entree Leadership, and one thing that my wife liked about it is Dave said, you know, you need to consult with your spouse on big decisions, and I made the mistake of telling my wife that, so now, you know, at dinner, it's like, what do you need to ask me about it that you're doing at the chamber?
Women have a very special and unique intuition on things.
That's
and
right.
You know what? They can help you make better business decisions, right?
Oh, yeah. And sometimes I can't tell her, you know, I can tell all the reasons why we should do something, and she's got that little feeling of, nope, you shouldn't do it, and we don't do it, and she ends up being right.
It's a wise man that listens to
counsel. Is this recorded?
Counsel of,
she's going to hear that.
Yeah. So, yes. So, Todd, how about any if you can think of anything that's like a funny or scary story in your business that since you opened up?
Well, it seems like pretty much everything has been funny or scary since the beginning. I guess one of the things, and I don't know if it necessarily falls into the funny or the scary, but it definitely gives you a little insight into our company. So being in the military as well as running the business, I spent all of 2015 deployed, and it was pretty amazing that I have I'm blessed to have a family that was able to, everyone stepped in and covered for me. And not only did they cover for me, I came back to a business that was thriving even more when I came back than it was when I left. So I guess that kind of fills the scary, funny, exciting all in one.
Okay. And I ask either of you about this. What do you think about the idea of working smarter, not harder?
I honestly believe it's a little bit of both. I think a lot of times people get a little too caught up on the work smarter, not harder, and they forget that smart ideas have to be implemented, and the only way they're going to be implemented is by working hard.
Yeah, I love that you say that. We've had situations where, hey, this is a great idea, and then, well, go ahead and make that happen. Well, I don't want to make it happen. I want you to make it happen. But you know, you talk about working smarter. We try to do that as well. We're a small business. The chamber is, and we have 2,000 members. And the way we can better serve them are by having things such as a good website that you can go and you can find heating and air conditioning members, that you can manage your records, that someone doesn't have to call a staff member to pay an invoice or buy a ticket. They can do all that stuff online, which helps us to create and solidify those relationships that are important to get us where we're going.
So, Todd, it sounds like through your strategic planning that you're cultivating a certain culture at your company, and that you want to convey can you comment on what the culture is when you're having these once a year events and you're leading an organization of 50 people? What are some of the values that you want everybody to adopt and be part of at Bradbury Brothers?
I'm going to get back to that vision statement once again. Is everything ties into that vision is taking care of the customers first and foremost, because without them, we have no business. And then really, really taking care of our employees and allowing them a place to grow, to see some success. And in all honesty, we've probably lost some really good employees for a great reason, is that ambition that they learned from us and moved on to bigger and better things. And so, that's really the culture of the company.
You know, I'm glad to hear you say that. That is something that we've preached at the chamber as well, is that I think one of the best things we can do is to encourage that entrepreneurial spirit and encourage that growth in an employee. That the bad side is they may leave us, but the good side is they may leave us for something better, and then they know us. They're one of our best ambassadors out in the community. If they've worked for our business, be it Bradbury or Provident Wealth or the Chamber, and they go somewhere else, they can help you out in the long run.
So, Todd, in business, there's a principle or practice called identifying a unique selling proposition. And, you know, when you're in the heating and air conditioning, what do you guys do to give yourself to separate yourself from your competition? How do you do that? That sounds like a challenge.
Very much a challenge. Obviously, heating and air conditioning in the Houston area, there's a couple of people that actually perform that type of business. So we have a tremendous amount of competition. The thing that we pride ourselves on, and part of our mission statement, is to provide 100% satisfaction, which we take extremely seriously. So when we go into someone's home, the first thing that most people notice is that we're very different than most of our competition, what we put into designing, installing, servicing, and then of course just the customer service that falls above and beyond after that is that 100% satisfaction is something that we absolutely live and die by.
So, Todd, how are you able to put some metrics around that you can baseline and then, you know, fit into your report back to your employees and the company?
Yeah, we definitely are constantly checking the voice of our customer base. So whether it be through quality control checks, through the review process from every online source possible, staying in touch with social media, is we're constantly, just as we ask our employees what it would take to keep and retain the talented employees that we have, same way with our customers, is what do we have to do to retain those great customers.
Yeah, so that's the challenge. So you and Jackie and Michael and Jason can have those values buttoned down. You got a real stake in it as being the business owners, but being able to do that means that you've got to know the keys or have the keys to hiring good people and then keeping them. How do you do that, Todd? If a business owner says, yeah, I want to build a substantial company, I've got to attract and keep the right people, what advice could you give them?
Well, I definitely am not an expert, other than the fact that we practice a whole lot at it. I don't think there is a clear-cut answer. The key is there's no substitute for the right, and we'd rather have less of the right type of employee than a lot of people that aren't on the same boat as us as far as our mission and our vision.
I've heard it said, be slow to hire and quick to fire. You know what? When somebody doesn't line up with your goals and visions or follow through, most of the time that you'll you know, you'll end up that problem will become more expensive the longer that goes on. By the way, I wanted to give a shout out to Richard Rector of Green Bank, and I know that he's listening.
One of my buddies at Green Bank.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so Richard Rector, I think that's your family banker, and I've known Richard for a number of years. I think maybe he had something to do with connecting you to the executive producer of the Shrimp Tank, so we'll give him a shout out. We have a couple more questions, and then the producer's telling me we need to kind of hurry it up. And
how does our time go by so fast? Every time we do this,
it goes by faster than I could imagine. But I kind of got to thinking that you have this military reserve active duty status now, or reserve status, and you said you were deployed all of 15. What are some of the lessons from the military that have brought value to your business as a business owner?
My method of management has changed tremendously due to the military. With that said, it's kind of a good balance with the rest of the family. But the discipline is probably the biggest thing that comes from the military, is instilling that discipline with myself, as well as, again, it's just like the work ethic is, I want to be an example to everyone else. So I think the discipline is probably the biggest one.
I love that, because in the military, you don't have a choice to be disciplined. You can't tell the guy, I don't feel like going and putting a backpack on today. And
you can give it a shot, but it isn't going to go well.
It's not going to go well, right?
Yeah, you don't want that reputation, that being on sick call.
You know what? And that's a good part of it. A large part of business, just getting up and doing what has to be done. So, Todd, what would you say to someone who's tried and failed and maybe needs that boost to pick themselves up and try again?
Well, I personally don't believe a lot in failure. I believe you look at it as something that you can take away from and learn and improve upon. The good old quote about insanity, doing the same thing over and over again. The key is, take what happened where you didn't succeed, learn from it, come up with a game plan, what you can do to improve upon it, and do it again.
Failure is an offensive word, isn't it? It implies, something permanent, but I can tell you that as a host of this show and interviewing people about their success, what I hear oftentimes is all of the time that they had setbacks, hardships, blood, sweat, and tears, and that life has not been all sunshine and rainbows being an entrepreneur.
It would be awful boring if you didn't try something new on occasion. At the chamber, try to push the envelope a little bit, and I think that part of that is the culture of making it safe to try to push that envelope in a reasonable, responsible way. But then, if something happens and it goes south, we don't point fingers and go, well, why did you do that? We figure out how we can all learn from it and then improve to go forward. But if we don't ever try that, then we would be here 10 years and 20 years and 40 years and just doing the same thing over and over again.
Yep. So, Todd, another question I wanted to ask you about: one personal success habit that you think contributes to your success, your company's success.
I'd probably say the biggest thing is, I would never have an employee or ask an employee to do something that I haven't done personally. As we've grown, it was one thing when we first started, when we had five people working there, we pretty much had to do everything. And I think that's really the key for where we're at now is we've been there, done that, and I would never have an employee do something that I wouldn't do myself.
You're not an ivory tower sort of guy.
That I am not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
JJ,
the office.
What do you think about that?
One of the best lessons I learned in the events that we do, it's like death by a thousand cuts. There are a million details to everything, to name tags, to where people sit. And we had some staffing changes early on at the chamber that forced me into having to manage some events. And I have a special understanding of when our staff is in the stressful time of, EOC is just a couple of weeks away. Now is the hot time. And it's a matter of going by, hey, can I help you out with that? Do you need me to run to the Marriott and pick up a box? Whatever I can do to help alleviate some of that and get stuff out of their way, remove those roadblocks.
Teamwork, because you can have different people in an organization with different roles and responsibilities, and one person is really, swamped, and another person can look at that and see that and say, hey, where can I help out?
Yeah, you can't have silos.
Yeah. I want to go back to just a moment. We were talking a little bit about smarter, not harder, and I really liked your answer. You said a little bit of both, and JJ commented on that. And then earlier in the show, you talked about that your business is very competitive. And I think any business that I'm in, I want it to be a very competitive business, because any good business is a very competitive business. And I think that this idea about working smarter, not harder, can be misconstrued, and it can be a bit of a myth. Now, you might know this book that came out called The 3-Hour Work Week, written by Timothy Ferriss. And
love to see how that works.
You know how many books this guy sold? Okay, he sold, and I listened to it on audiobook, and actually there were some takeaway, there were some nuggets. This guy sold millions of books because he had a title called The 3-Hour Work Week. Now, who wouldn't want that? Mm-hmm. Right? Who wouldn't want success and money in a 3-hour work week? But I'll ask you guys, do you think that's based in reality or in fantasy?
I'm going with fantasy.
I'm with Todd.
Yeah. I mean, but the title, it just says something to the human nature that we want something sometimes, our human nature that isn't real. Why else would the guy sell, millions of books titled The 3-Hour Work Week? Back to how this ties into working smarter, not harder. I think in a competitive business, you definitely have to do both. You have to work smarter. Yep. The notion that you're going to, work a few hours a week and then just go clean out the cash register, that's based in fantasy. You got to work smarter and harder oftentimes. And then that comes at the challenge to find balance. So, one last question, Todd and JJ, you got time for one more if there's anything else that you want to add, but I have one more question, and then the executive producer's telling me to wrap it up, boys. So I want to ask you, what do you think is one of the biggest obstacles facing business owners today?
I'm going to tie this into the construction industry is the employment side. Is we've gotten into an environment to where that blue-collar labor is not something that people desire to do as much anymore. So we're hoping for a big shift in that and that workforce.
Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned that. Our current chairman of our board is Linda Head, who is over the Lone Star Corporate College. She's the vice chancellor over there. And that's one thing that we're seeing is there's a tremendous, and we're seeing that in the National Association of Manufacturers mentioned that the other day, that it's hard to find people that will work in those manufacturing jobs. And we've got opportunities all over the place to train them. It's just a matter of getting people that want to do that.
So if you're a young listener, maybe that art history degree is, not going to bear you the fruit that you hoped for. There's
welders can make six figures a year.
That's right. Plumbers, welders, air conditioning
that's
people,
right.
You know.
It's good living.
Yeah. So think about those sorts of things. So, Todd, it's been a great show. Loved learning about the Bradbury Brothers family business and what the exciting things that your family's doing. Tell our listeners how they would get in touch with you and your family business.
Absolutely. The quickest and easiest way is, of course, bradburybrothers.com, or you can actually give us a call at 281-651-5484.
You're listening to the Shrimp Tank Podcast. We're going to be back next week. We're live in studio today at the Chamber of Commerce with JJ Hawley and Todd Bradbury, and don't forget you can download a complete replay of this show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. You'll find Todd's story and his show on iTunes, and don't forget to tune in next week. We have an exciting show for you right back here right next week. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome to the Shrimp Tank. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, but homie keep going. You know the saying, you can reap what you're sowing. So I don't chase girls,
I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, Roadie 2016. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general, from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never. Going hard as ever, the results match the effort. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.